The following message was recorded at Geneva Presbyterian Church in Canton, Michigan, on Sunday, June 19, 2011, at the 10 o'clock service. The scripture lesson was Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. The sermon was delivered by Pastor Brian Smith, and the title of the message was Learning to Dance.
Well, it was just about a year ago that LeBron James broke the heart of the Cleveland Cavalier fans when he held basically a nationwide press conference to announce his decision to take his prodigious basketball playing skills down south to Miami to play for the Miami Heat. At that same announcement, there were two other superstars, Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, who were going to play together. They quickly were dubbed the Big Three, and they basically promised the fans of Miami, they would win multiple championships over the next several years. Well, the first NBA championship series just ended last week. The Heat made it to that series, but lo and behold, they didn't win. The Dallas Mavericks emerged victorious, and now it appears pretty clear that the Big Three weren't quite big enough. Well, we gathered here as people who know that the Big Three don't have the names of LeBron, Dwayne, and Chris, nor either anymore GM Ford or Chrysler. The real Big Three, the biggest three, has the names of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And those Big Three are pursuing something far grander than winning sports championships. They have a vision, a desire for all the world. And in our next scripture reading, we hear how the Big Three are conspiring to enlist folks just like us to part of that team. And we hear Jesus coaching them, giving some suggestions and guidance as how they are and how we are to carry out this task. Listen now for God's word to you as I share these final verses that cap the Gospel of Matthew. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Christ had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." May God bless to our hearing and to our living this reading from God's holy word. I had the joy yesterday of presiding over another wedding. Kara Christensen got married to a man named Mike Medeszewski. I practiced that name for a week and then I lost it just now. But Kara and Matt Medeszewski got married yesterday out in Ann Arbor. And every time I do a wedding now, I go back and I remember that blessed day that Jennifer and I were married almost 26 years ago. Now, I know I've shared this story with you already about what happened at our reception, but my therapist said it's always good to share this periodically just to sort of get it off my chest. So if you'll bear with me one more time. We decided that our song was the song by Chicago, "You're the Inspiration." Some of you might remember, hear that on oldies stations today. But so we decided we really wanted to do that right. We really wanted to have our first dance be something that was majestic and beautiful. So we took dance lessons. And we had a choreographer even work with us. And we were practicing. We spent $700. And I thought we looked good. Certainly much better than what we see today, for example, on Dancing with the Stars. So we were ready to go. We were confident. And then my mom leaked word to the band leader that we had taken these lessons. And so right before the first dance, he announces to all the people at the reception, "I want you to know that Jennifer and Brian have taken several weeks of lessons, so this should really be good." And then the band proceeded to play that song in a way that Chicago never, ever would have dreamed of. As I was hearing that song, it seemed like it felt to me not so much you're the inspiration, but I'm feeling constipation. It was bad. It was horrible. And Jennifer and I kind of muddled our way through the next several minutes, and the band leader said to us and to the crowd, you know, if I were you guys, I'd ask for your money back. So as I said, after 25 years of time passing and several intense therapy sessions, I'm pretty much over that to the point that I can now hear, for example, this insight from a pastor, not with terror, but with joy. Remarking on what we celebrated last Sunday on Pentecost, a pastor named Scott McKnight shared these words. He said, Pentecost, the day on which we are indwelt by the Spirit, sweeps us up into the dance of the Trinity. We are summoned to the dance floor, and the music is grace and love and holiness and peace. The music is supplied by God, and His people are invited to sing and dance along. Pentecost, my friends, is an invitation to a dance. And the Spirit gives us the energy and power to pull it off. Couldn't agree more with that insight. The Christian life really is about learning how to dance with God. It's learning to hear, first of all, the music that comes from God through His Son by the Spirit, a music of grace, of embrace, of acceptance, of forgiveness, and of hope. It's learning to allow that beautiful melody from God to begin to make its way first into our ears and then into our hearts. And to realize, as someone once said, all of creation is shot through with joy. So God comes to us and helps us to begin to hear this divine music of inclusion, of love, of power, and transformation. And the Spirit then seeks to allow that music to transform our lives. We begin to learn the basic footwork of what it means to forgive. We learn that in this dance, you don't judge. That part of being part of the dance of the Trinity is you learn to care for others. You learn even to love those who've hurt you. That the dance has some pretty difficult steps to it, but the Spirit is there to guide us, to choreograph us, to allow us to learn how do we stay in this dance that allows the life of God to flow into us and then through us. Really, what we do as Christian people, some way or another, is about learning to dance and taking part in the dance. That's what scripture reading and prayer is about. Learning more about this dance partner who has called us to His dance floor. When we have fellowship together, we're learning how we are to conduct ourselves as dance partners in this grand dance that God has called all of us to. When we go out and we serve in mission, what we're trying to do is allow other folks as well to hear the music. To get caught up in the same movement of grace that God has unleashed for us through His Son. All of this really is not about being disciples, but learning to be dancers. I think that's what discipleship really is about, is learning how to dance with the Father and the Son and the Spirit in ways that transforms this life and eventually through the church, this world as well, into a movement that brings joy to the heart of God. Well, the Apostle Paul, I'm not sure what kind of a dancer he was, but I know he gave a lot of advice to churches who were trying to learn how to dance this dance of the Trinity. We heard a brief portion of that in our first scripture reading, and part of that passage, I want to remind you, where Paul says these words. He says, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. Here Paul is letting us in on seeing some of the inner workings of the big three. He says, I pray to the Father who gives us all glorious things. He does so through His Spirit who comes to us. As the Spirit comes to us, what He does is He forms Christ within us. There's a wonderful movement of dance as the Father, Son, and Spirit work together to recreate this world and to recreate each one of us into Christ's image. So what God is doing here, He's inviting us into the depths of communion with Him. You see, I don't want you to just believe in me, to worship me, to serve me, to honor me. I want you to know me. To know me in the deepest possible way. And so what I will do is I will live in the very depths of who you are. And in that place of deep communion where I am closer to you than your own breath, I will be yours and you will be mine. And from that place of divine union then, we begin to understand not just theoretically what this dance is about, we begin to find ourselves dancing. Because Christ is doing the dance within us. It's a beautiful and holy thing. And what God seeks to do, first of all, as Paul says, is to get us rooted and established in love. The dance, ultimately, is a dance that celebrates the reality that God, at God's very core, is love. And as we begin to surrender to that love, to know that we are loved, not in a theoretical, esoteric way, not in a way that we can debate, but in a way that we experience in the core of our being, we begin to release ourselves into its power, into its presence. And as we do that, we begin to find ourselves being moved from being self-concerned to being other-focused. We move from being anxious and afraid and defensive to being open, receptive, and giving. Love begins to transform us inwardly, that we begin to have the very heart of Christ. And this love, we realize, sets us free from trying to prove our worth to anyone. We already know, because of who God is, that we are loved beyond measure. We no longer need to contort ourselves into various shapes and figures and personalities to try to win the approval of friends or co-workers. We know deeper than we can possibly speak about that we are people who matter because we matter to God. And we begin to discover this power of love is stronger even than death. That the dance doesn't end on our deathbed. The dance goes on in an even greater way. As we meet our dance partner face to face and spend eternity celebrating the miracle of who God is and who we are called to be in Him. So this love that moves from the Father through the Son and the Spirit is now shared with us, and we are called to join in that communion, and we grow in that. We learn what it means to be dance partners. We raise our kids to learn what it means to live as a follower of Jesus. And then when we get to a certain place, the Spirit says, now there's a second part of this dance I want to lead you into. And we begin to realize that this dance is not just between ourselves and God. But God has a very large dance floor. And what God wants to do is to not just redeem each of us, He wants to redeem all of creation by His love. And so He sets us up to learn the dance that we might then go out into the world and others might see this dance and say, I want to be part of that. It must be a great thing to know you are loved, to be able to be other-focused, to be able to be generous and not be anxious or afraid. That must be a great way to live. I want to dance that same dance. And so the Spirit moves us out into the world to invite other people to come on the dance floor. And basically, that's what Jesus does in the last part of Matthew's Gospel when He says, go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's, we call that the Great Commission. And Paul knows that to do that effectively, we need God's help. That's why he's praying for the Ephesians. He says to really become more like Christ, to carry out this commission, you need this power of God at work within you. But as God works with us and encounters and moves beyond resistance or disbelief or apathy, as he begins to shape and sharpen us, as he begins to get his hands on us, we begin to become more alive and more awake as human beings. And that faith and hope and love, another big three, get formed deep within us. And then we go out not just sharing words about Jesus. No, being a witness means that people can see Christ in you. They can see the dance going on. In just a few moments, we're going to be commissioning some folks to go. To go to Grand Rapids this year. And what we're saying by that commissioning is that we believe that they've learned something about this dance. Not everything. For all of us still have places where we haven't heard the music yet. There are still places within us that are unconverted, that really don't believe that. Not deeply yet. We still instinctively protect ourselves. And we often are people who are hard-hearted. But we believe that God has worked enough in these young people and their advisors to say that they can now go. And when they go to Grand Rapids, that others who are there, fellow missionaries or folks they'll be working with, will begin to see something about Christ in them. And the hope would be that when they come back, there's some more dancing going on in Grand Rapids. Some grace, some love, some self-sacrifice has been infused in that community, in those people, to the place that Christ's great commission has been fulfilled to some degree, in a deeper way now, in that place. When he says baptize folks in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, what he's really saying is I want people to be invited, to be impressed with the invitation to join this dance of the Trinity. So some folks are heading right to Grand Rapids after our worship service. The rest of us are maybe heading back to our homes, to our schools, our neighborhoods. But we're also sent with that same commission. This faith is not just about us being right with God. It's really also about living in such a way that the world around you, the people that are part of your life, see something of Christ in you to the degree that they also want to be part of this grand and glorious dance of new life and recreation. So my hope and prayer would be this day that we might hear the melody in a deeper way. We might persevere in learning this dance. For God has given to us the greatest instructor of all, His own Spirit, who holds us in His loving and eternal embrace, that we might be set on fire to go forth loving and serving our God with joy, with compassion, and with grace, today and forevermore. Amen.
We hope that you enjoyed this message. If you have questions or would like to know more about Geneva Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at genevachurch.org or call the church office at 734-459-0013.